welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, finally we're here on International Mac Day. It is the 30th anniversary of the Mac, and we're doing a Mac Show. That is serendipity, and it's fantastic. And joining me for this show, a wonderful bunch. Starting off top left, Donnie McAllister, the Don. How you doing, bud?
Hello, Ewan. Yeah, I'm great, thank you. Nice to be back. Another temporary respite, but back in full-fledged now.
What do you think to the upgrade to numbers, mate?
Yeah, timely. Timely. yes, I've just done two complete shows all about numbers, which are going out this week and next week, and I was just about to hit the button. Well, I published them tonight. Well, one of them goes out tonight, and then Apple kindly released a new version of numbers last night.
Bastards!
No, well, I'm always glad to see them improving stuff, but it does make a bit of extra work for me. So while I thought I was going to have a lazy afternoon and come on the podcast, I've actually been busily re-recording certain segments where they've changed a few things. But luckily, it's only minimal. I mean, they've just improved it in a few areas, so it's not too horrendous. But no, it's good.
Diplomatic dog.
It's all good.
As ever. Next to him, our annual guest, Paul Kent. How's it going, mate?
Going great. Thanks for having me back on, fellas.
You must be in the thick of it at the minute, mate.
Yeah, ever since we got back after the first of the year, after the holiday break, it's been rocking and rolling. We moved the show out to March this year.
Yeah.
That means we have the whole first quarter to really get the show cooking. So it's busy, but it's all good stuff.
Do you find yourself kind of coasting into Christmas thinking, yeah, it'll be fine, and then after Christmas going, holy crap?
After all the years of Macworld being the first week of January, it's kind of ruined December for me forever. So I'm just kind of always in December. We're in Macworld thinking mode. So just becomes part of the DNA, I suppose.
Good, man. We'll talk about Macworld in a second. All right. Next to him, it's Adam Christensen, not Alison Sheridan, as I've got listed here. How you doing, mate?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
All right, mate. We were my roommate for Macworld.
Yeah, we're going to be hanging out. It's going to be fun.
Mate, hanging being the obvious word.
Because I hear there's some Cards Against Humanity in our future, so that should be good.
Brilliant. Yeah. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. I was disappointed to find out that parking a car there is $55 a day.
Oh, that's a bargain.
Really?
Hire one for less than that.
Well, no, we can hire a car.
It's just parking it somewhere.
For 200 quid. For 10 days.
Yeah. So I'm taking BART. I'm taking the train in from the airport, and I'll walk everywhere I need to go.
Yeah.
You're going to be doing the touristy stuff, though, so you need to be more mobile.
It's 0.4 of a mile from where we're staying to Macworld, so yes!
You could always just use Lyft.
I can sway that far. Do they serve beer at the show, Paul?
At certain times they do. There are some little kiosks that are set up that you...
7:30 onwards.
Yeah, 7:30 a.m. onwards, yeah.
Good man, I like this. Oh, you got to go. Next.
Know your audience is really what the...
Absolutely. Mac and beer go together. Next to him, Greeny Boy.
Hello, chap.
What the hell you been up to?
What I've been doing? I've been doing video work pretty much all week.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, and I've been using... what's that? Is it not Camtasia? What's the screen one called? Screen something or other?
ScreenFlow?
ScreenFlow, yeah.
Is this? Yes, it's ScreenFlow, yeah. Absolutely fantastic.
No, I love shit. That product. It's utter crap, mate. Camtasia's significantly better.
Oh.
And that's the last you're going to say of that.
Yes. Yeah, sorry.
This network does not endorse ScreenFlow. It's utter crap in comparison to Camtasia. Buy Camtasia because it's just beyond comparison. There we go.
I've always said that, actually.
Yes. And based on the fact you've got a free copy, why aren't you using it?
I always say Camtasia every time.
Too right.
Yeah.
And last but by no means least, a massive Camtasia user.
Really?
I'm saying nothing.
It's Kyle Swagger.
Hello.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm great. I am a massive user. I got a free version. Massively use it all the time.
What's the temperatures like out there? Good, you say?
It's beautiful here. 23 degrees right now. 11:46 at night. Cool breeze. I shall enjoy it for another week before the sun rays come upon us again. Yeah.
So are you technically in winter or...
No, we're technically in not summer. That's what we're technically not in right now.
Yeah,
so there's really summer and rain, and that's really it.
There isn't a lot of difference.
We don't have any rain right now.
There isn't a lot of difference, is there? In terms of temperature, anyway.
No. But I mean, for some reason, this January has been really, really, really chilly, actually, quite well. You actually see people with jackets on, so you know that it's cold.
Mm-hmm. He's actually into the world. He makes all this up.
That's the thing. That's the thing that's going to happen with Macworld, because we're going to go out there and it's like 60 degrees in San Francisco, isn't it? Sort of March.
No, it's like 75 degrees in San Francisco right now.
Yeah. So there'll be people there in coats, and we'll be there. Me and Paul Wheatley will be there in a pair of swimming trunks, showing off our white bits. We've had some reviews. I've got to do the reviews because they're absolutely brilliant. The first one is from Jason Barden in New Zealand. Thank you for submitting a review, Jason. If you've got a review, stick it in iTunes or stick it on a blog somewhere and send us the link and we'll read it out, I promise you. First one, absolutely fantastic show. Been a long-time listener and decided why the heck not do one of these things. Great network. I highly recommend people who only listen to the Mac Show to listen to the Big Show and many, many more. And, of course, the banter is the best on iTunes, if I say so myself. Look at you, Greenie. And the second review we got is from Jason Barden of New Zealand. Absolutely fantastic show. Been a long time listener. It's the same review. I don't know how this guy's done it, but he has managed to submit the identical review twice on iTunes, and iTunes recognises it. Because normally if you edit your review, that's it. You're stuffed. But he has got two reviews in one go. So he gets Man of the Week, most definitely.
What does the second one say, then?
Same thing. It's just exactly the same one. But he's managed to get it up twice. So we've got 5 stars in both of them, so that makes 10 stars out of 5. That's the way I'm seeing it, anyway. You don't like that stuff. And the other one is Red 5 from the United Kingdom. Just woken up in the local accident and emergency unit, clutching my sides and tears rolling down my rosy red cheeks. It took a while to recall that night's events, but managed to remember that it was due to watching Santa doing Mac on the British Tech Network. Santa's foul mouth, him coming on to Kelly and not hanging up on Greenie like a lovesick teenager caused me to laugh so hard I tripped over the coffee table. Just managed to sidestep the cap, but came crashing down with my head on the Dyson on the way to the floor. My last memory was of Don in a room full of hubcaps. Many thanks, Mark. I have no idea what the reference of Don in a room full of hubcaps is about. thanks for those. If you've got any reviews for the network, then please do submit them to us. We read them all out, good or bad, it doesn't matter. We do appreciate it. The Week in Apple. Well, I mean, it's that time of year that we have Paul Gent on. You know there's only one reason that Paul would be so excited to want to come on this show, and that's to talk Macworld or Highworld, because, dude, it's not far now.
Nope, we're getting cooking for it March 27th to 29th, so we're about 10 weeks away now.
Jeez. So what's the kind of synopsis of the event so far? How big are you, where you're up to, what's happening?
Yep, so you know, this is the day, today actually is the day of the 30th anniversary of the Mac. This is also the 30th anniversary of Macworld iWorld. Macworld, the trade show, Macworld, the publication, were actually part of the original Mac rollout activities, and so... you know, we're celebrating a 30th anniversary as well. And so this year we got a pretty cool show. We have a really, really vibrant conference, lots of cool speakers, lots of interesting sessions. The show floor is shaping up great. We'll have about 150 app developers there, about 150 other types of developers there as well. Canon, HP, a lot of the Sennheiser, a lot of the bigger manufacturers in the industry. So the show's going to be a lot of fun this year. It's always a lot of fun because it's a bunch of people who are all really passionate about Apple technology. So it's education and it's product discovery and a lot of people just kind of getting together and sharing their enjoyment of Apple technology.
Well, now I have to say that I'm rather excited. Batwench in the chat room, he's saying, is you in trying to get a freebie? No, mate, I'm going to be seeing Paul because I'm going to Macworld. I'm going to see Adam. We're sharing a room. It'll be better than
it's just... awesome. So glad you're going to be there, and you're going to do a show live from our show, right?
Yep, as many as you like, mate. We've got 3 we can do, but we'll do one at least. So there you go.
It'll be a lot of fun. The podcasts that are kind of these live studio audience that are, you know, people at the show, you know, they get a little rowdy and they're just a lot of fun. So I think you're going to have a blast doing one.
I think it's going to be great. We're going to have a great.
Adam's
panel.
Done one in the past, right, Adam?
Yeah, I did one last year where I had people from my audience on. And talk to them about their Macs and stuff like that. It was really great because that's one of my favorite parts about Macworld, iWorld, is the community. So when I did my live show, I wanted to do something that was really about the community, because that's really in the spirit of what I try to do on the MacCast. So it was a perfect opportunity to do that, and a lot of fun.
I'm so excited at the moment. I'm waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning thinking, oh, I wonder. I'm that excited about going. It's fantastic. Well,
it's good that you're going to be there. Let me tell you a little bit about some of the conference sessions that are going to be there, because I think the conference is particularly interesting because not only are we doing, you know, Apple stuff, but we're also helping people. Everybody comes to Macworld as a technology enthusiast, so we've got some kind of out of the box type of sessions.
Go for it.
It's been a crazy busy year in the Macworld, right? We've had an upgrade to OS X. We've had an upgrade to iOS. As Don knows so well, we have an upgrade to iWork apps. We have an upgrade to all the iLife apps. And so there's a lot to talk about. And all these things will get conference sessions that people can learn from. But one of the things I'm really happy about is we're going to go outside the box a little. And just
you
talk
have
about
an
things.
Incoming call from Don.
Sorry.
We good?
Go ahead, Paul. Yeah, no worries.
Yeah. We have sessions on like just things of interest to technologists. So we have a session that's going to explain what the heck Bitcoins is about, because there's so much question about Bitcoins. One of our keynotes is Robert Scoble, the father of blogging, and he's going to be talking about his new book called The Age of Context, which is all about, you know, when you are out and about with a mobile device, what information can your mobile device serve to you? And also, importantly, what information is your mobile device serving to the rest of the world, and, you know, privacy issues and things like that. So, you know, all the Mac stuff that you need to know and all of the technology issues of the day are going to be part of the conference sessions that are going on. It's going to be a really nice, robust, interesting, fun conference.
It's good that there's a broader appeal there for, like you say, the Bitcoin thing as well. That's an enormous change, really, from kind of very Mac-centered stuff. But there's an awful lot of stuff that's being purchased with Bitcoin and stuff now. So that's the reason. It's right out there. Batwinch in the chat room says, does Paul know that Ewan owns a Windows phone? Yes, he does, mate.
But fair enough, though, he only found out about that just today, so he might have changed his mind about coming on the show previously, though, if he'd know.
No. Here's the thing. Those days are dead, and those platform wars are dead and gone, right? You know, we lived through those. We survived those years. They were fun while they lasted, but, you know, whatever the best tool that makes you happy, that gets it done, you know, how do you get your – what do you do about iTunes with a Windows phone?
Oh, it seems to. It syncs. Absolutely syncs. It's there's a Mac application called Windows Phone, which is available on the Mac App Store, and you connect your phone to it, and it does all the syncing with iTunes, the whole thing. Do you own a Pebble watch by any chance?
Not yet, but actually the new one looks really cool, so that's on my list.
I've got a Pebble watch. Someone gave me a Pebble watch this week. How cool is that? Mm-hmm. A listener said, thank you very much for the shows. I thought you'd like this, and they gave me a Pebble watch. Cool. And I'm like, well, that's cool. Thank you very much and all that, but I've got to say, Ninja Andy, it's not going to be much use to me because I've got a Windows phone. There's an app! There's an app to use a Pebble watch with a Windows phone.
How about like all your cloud services? What do you do about calendars and contacts and all that stuff?
I use Google, so it just syncs anyway. It's fine. It does the calendars and it does the emails. It does the tweets. It does the messages, the SMS, the whole thing.
But if you wanted to use Mac stuff, you'd be out of luck with that stuff?
No, I could use a Mac phone. And still use my Pebble Watch with it, yeah. But
No. I'm saying if you were using like Apple's calendar and Apple's contacts, and you know,
you're
Windows Phone.
But the Apple calendar's crap for syncing everywhere. I use Gmail because it's just so much easier to get it on lots of platforms. And I never trusted Apple Calendar when I had it, so you couldn't do integration as easily. It was awful.
Maybe we should do a session that's a shootout of an iPhone and a Windows Phone.
Dude, you're going to get me hung.
Yeah,
I mean,
why do you think he's letting you come to Macworld?
There's going to be crowd. I'm going to be crowd surfing at Macworld, but instead of me crowd surfing, it's going to be my dead body being passed around the faithful.
Not like that anymore,
I already get death threats on this show.
The reason it's not like that anymore is because Apple won. So you know, mostly you might get snickered at, or you know, you might get pantsed or something like that, but. No, it's not like you're the.
I might get what?
You know that term, pantsed?
What's pantsed?
Someone might come up behind you and pull down your pants.
Oh, okay. I was thinking wedgie, but no. Okay, I haven't been pantsed before.
It's the opposite of wedgie.
It's the opposite. Yeah.
Is there a British term for that, or does that not happen?
I debagged, I guess, but I don't know. I haven't heard pantsed before, but that's
tons of new products released at the show. Like I said, the conference is particularly cool. Evening is when the show kind of takes on a whole different life, where people kind of self-gather in the local pubs and local parties that are going on. So that's kind of cool.
From what I understand, that's an understatement.
It is what you make of it, man. So but that's part of the history. Like, for 30 years, you know, people have been coming to party at Macworld. I'd say Macworld was probably the original trade show that kind of had this party, you know, maybe outside of like the local Elks Club meetings type of things. But you know, back in the early 80s, trade shows were not as wild and fun. Macworld was the original community trade show, I'd say. And that rich history of people misbehaving badly after hours will carry on certainly this year.
Cool. I got to say, I've got visions of me coming back on Wednesday after the thing on the following week, and the wife goes, "Ah, it was Macworld," and me going, "I have no idea."
Hey, I have a special offer for your listeners if you don't mind me putting it out.
Oh,
there,
awesome!
Right?
Go for it, mate. What is it?
All right. So right now, if you go to MacworldiWorld.com and you were to go through the registration process, it'd be $25 to get into just the expo floor. And that would be the, you know, all the booths and then the two stages that we have. We have the Macworld Live stage, and then we have the second stage where the podcasts and musical performances will be. So that's $25. Or the conference, that'll be $249. And both of those prices are going to go up at the end of the month, at the end of February. But for our friends on the Mac Show, when you register, we can do it for $10 for the expo floor or $149 for the conference, which is an incredible deal. 3 days of conference for just $149.
The floor is amazing. And
the new products are always the star of the show. And so, you know, that's kind of the fun part of it. And, you know, the more people that come, the more that there is, you know, exhibitors to meet more people. So that makes them happy. Some more of them come. So if we get a lot of people there, then we'll get a lot of exhibitors there. If we get a lot of exhibitors there, then we'll get even more people there. So it all kind of flows together and complements each other. Now, one thing about that code, guys, this show is live now. So that code is going to be live for just 48 hours, right? So it's not, you know, forever. It's just going to be for 48 hours.
No pressure to publish the show then, Jesus.
Well, actually, just tell me what date you'll have it published. And
we usually put it out on Sunday morning, but yeah.
No problem. Then we'll do it until Tuesday night.
Ah, dude, see, that's the kind of service you get. Fantastic, fantastic, fantastic. I am so excited I'm going to come out and meet you, Paul, as well as see all the shenanigans that go on there, because it's one of those things that I've looked at for afar, and I really, really want to be there, and I'm going
to
be.
It's going to be great to have you. It is. It's going to be a big party. It's going to be a lot of fun. And then just to let everybody know, again, today is the 30th anniversary of the release of the original Mac. This weekend, tomorrow night, is a big celebration in Cupertino on the actual stage that Steve Jobs announced the first Mac. They're doing a retrospective. They've got just about all of the original Mac development team that's going to be attending. There's going to be three really cool panel sessions kind of talking about what it was like to be on the development team, what the technical challenges were. You guys should look up Mac 30th because the little kind of mini conference that's going on, it's going to be a lot of fun. A lot of your friends, me, Dave Hamilton, Bob Levitis, Chuck Latornis, the Macworld All-Star Band. We're, you know, of course, we always play at Macworld, but we're actually going to be doing a musical performance at the Mac 30th thing. So it's a great week in Apple lore. I mean, it's a great week in that so many interesting things are going on. A lot of remembering about where all this came from is going to be coming together. So hopefully you'll get a good report from that. You know, if you want me to come back and share a couple of things that went on, I'd be happy to.
But, yeah, no, we'll have you on. Well, come on our Mac Show at the conference. There we go.
Yeah, that'll be really cool.
All right, mate. I'm sure you won't have time, but at least the office is there. Mate,
make time for you.
If I'm not there, it's because I'm dead. Okay? Just so you know. Take care, Paul. Thanks for coming on, mate.
Back.
Do appreciate it.
Guys,
cheers, mate.
So
bye.
Having me on.
All right, bye. Pleasure, always.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, Paul.
Oh.
That's a hell of a deal.
Hands up if you're going to Macworld. I'm so excited.
That's a hell of a deal. $149?
Those sessions, I mean, if you're getting into those sessions for that, go look at the list. I mean, there's some really cool stuff going on. And, you know, everybody worried a couple years ago, you know, what was going to happen when Apple said, well, we're not doing the shows anymore. And I think the conference got better for it, frankly. To be honest, I don't know about you, Don, and maybe Don could weigh in. But, you know, I think it became a lot more about the community And Paul did a really great job. Paul and his team, actually, because he's got a team of people, did a really great job of expanding sort of the scope of the conference and really, like he was talking about, varying the kinds of talks that went on. So now it's a much more tech community kinds of things going on and not just Apple and Mac stuff. And I think it matches along with what Apple's been doing with their products, right? I mean, now iPhones and iPads, I mean, the landscape has really changed and the show has adapted. And I think that's why it's really survived and actually just become a better show every year.
It was a seminal moment when they were worried about Apple dropping off. So it could have gone one of two ways. Don, what's your thoughts there? You're on mute, dude.
Well, I couldn't hear him.
Ah, explains it. Thank you. That was, well, I'll tell you about something later. It's much more a community sort of focused event now. I think it used to be slightly more corporate before when Apple were there because Apple used to bring in some of the big companies. But I'm, quite impressed with Paul saying that some of those larger companies are now coming back as well, because I think everyone gave it a couple of years to see which way it went. And it's obviously sort of growing and building and building. But, it's still at its hub. It's very much a community-based event. The sessions are great. It used to cost hundreds and hundreds of dollars a couple of years ago. It was really expensive, but they did a wise thing about 2 years ago, and they sort of reduced the price down to an affordable level that, people who weren't getting paid by the companies to go along to could afford. And, the sessions themselves, it's not just like one or two sessions. It's three days just packed full of sessions, and the multiple streams as well. So you can sort of pick and choose which session you go to, to get the education side of it. But, most of the developers that you'll know about will be there. Either if they're not presenting in the expo, they'll actually be there sort of just, to join in some of the sort of after hours events and stuff. And it is a really good, it's a great experience. It's a good 3 days.
I'm sorry. Got it, Brady.
I wait for the music to... I feel like the little lad whose parents can't afford to send him to the skiing trip. And all his mates are talking about the skiing trip that they're going to be looking forward to.
I'm sorry, Greeny. I'm sorry, Greeny.
That's all right.
The other years, I mean, I haven't been able to go for the last couple of years myself, and I've been sitting talking about, I've got to go. And last year I was like, I'm definitely going. And I didn't. And this year I said, right, that's it, I'm going to go. And I've had the conversation with the wife. Spare room's not so bad.
You guys get the advantage of the exchange rate, right?
Dude, we're totally killing you at the minute.
I know. I was looking at that.
Oh, yeah. If you want to buy some dollars to take out, now's the time. 800, our accommodation is $800 each for an apartment smack in the middle of San Francisco.
And for a week.
That's for a whole week, yeah. And it's £442 it cost me, I think, on the exchange rate. And that was sending PayPal over, so...
That's not bad.
Who are crap on exchange rates. So, Batwinch wants to start a crowdfund for Greeny to go for next year.
And I love Batwinch. She's lovely.
I'll donate.
I'll put 100 quid in.
Fire it up.
I'll put 100 quid if you come in this year, mate.
No. To be honest, I haven't got a passport. That's the other thing.
Well, that's a bit of a problem.
You might need one of those.
Dude, unless you went to Macworld as an illegal alien, it just wouldn't be the same.
No, I could buy a passport.
You need to sneak in. You need a coconut matting boat from Costa Rica or something like that.
I'll come over that way.
That is the only way to arrive at Macworld for the green. I'm telling you.
If you can run up from Mexico, then I can give you a ride or something.
Yeah,
there you go.
You won't raise any suspicions.
you actually won't.
So I need to get one of those boats to smuggle you out in the middle of the night to Mexico, and then Adam will get me over the border.
Yeah, that's the one.
Am I that bad a person that I have to do that?
No. It's not. It's not about you as an individual. It's just about there's a way of doing things, and then there's the greeny way of doing things.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Via the Mexico route.
And you coming via Mexico would be the greeny way of going to Macworld.
I've been to Mexico once. I like Mexico. It's fine.
That's a compliment, mate, by the way. Not a negative.
All right.
Be honest. I'm serious. Jesus.
No, it's good. That's nice.
I can't say anything.
Thank you for the offers, everybody. I'll be all right. Have a nice time. Send me a postcard. Hope it's nice.
Oh, we will. There's no question we will.
If it makes you feel any better, Will, I'm not going either.
Hey.
Yeah, there you go. See? Solidarity, brothers.
What do you mean you talk about, Kyle, for the next sort of half an hour?
Well, we can't talk about Macworld for the next half hour because the.
We need a Macworld iWorld Europe. Where's that?
It was one, wasn't it?
Ewan's backyard.
Well, no, there's a good point. Yeah, I suppose that is. I'm flattered, mate. Thank you very much.
But there was one, wasn't there? There was a Macworld-y type thing. It's gone away now, I think.
Well, they did one in Boston as well, didn't they, for a long time? But that kind of died a death.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know. Don, can you remember that? I'm not making it up, am I? There was something in London for a bit, wasn't there?
Don's gone.
Oh, he's gone, is he?
He's had enough. See, look, there's a spinning.
Well, Don's getting on a bit, really.
There's a spinning £4,000 chair.
He's gone for a little lie down, I reckon.
And his video's frozen. His network's shit.
How can that be?
Yeah, he's got all the money in the world. And no connection. See, he's gone, look. He's gone completely. That's what we need. Look, there you go, spinning. There you go. See?
What else should we say about him, then?
Say what you like, mate. You can't hear a word.
That's a great puff.
I think you should turn the bash into the new Macworld iWorld.
Yeah,
Europe.
You can imagine all the exhibitors in my garden. The stalls could be on the flat on the hard standing, but they'd have to stand in the flower bed. They could use the flower bed as a seat. There we go. Macworld Nottingham doesn't have the same kind of ring to it. Says Tone. iBooker, he says he wants to start Macworld Liechtenstein. We'll do that. We're going to call the Bash Macworld this year. The British Macworld. See if we can get sponsorship.
See, or get sued by Paul.
Oh, he won't sue us. No, dude, he'd come along. He's doing sod all anyway in July, isn't he? He'll be on holiday or something. Recovering.
One day. See, your dream has been to come to Macworld. My dream is
to get out to the Bash. You have an incoming call from Don McAllister.
Well, there we go. So that's the Kickstarter project then. The Kickstarter project is get Greeny to Macworld next year and get Adam to the Bash this year.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
That'd be great. There we go. We'll start that.
As long as it's not the same week as Nerdtacular, like it was this year.
July 11th and 12th this week. This year.
See, it could be for my birthday.
So you're not at Nerdtacular 11th and 12th?
I have no idea. I don't know if they've announced the 2014 dates yet.
Check out price of flights and stuff. You can have my spare bedroom. You don't need to pay for accommodation. You just need to pay yourself to get here. So there you go. Flight into Birmingham via Paris, £500.
He might change his mind after he rooms with you for a week at Macworld.
Depends on the beer.
Yeah, it's true.
If the beer's the wrong flavor.
We're sitting here talking about Mexico and everything else. I cannot wait for you to get to Macworld and you actually be like the human pinata because you've got a Windows phone.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah, no, you never know.
It will. They'll single me out, but they'll treat me with pity. That's what I'm thinking.
Exactly.
We pity him. Poor guy. Poor British guy. He didn't know better.
Oh, be easy on him. He's an asshole. He's got a Windows phone. Can't help it.
Oh, man.
The week in Apple. What's going on? Not a lot, really. 30,
we've got 30 years, yeah.
Woo. 30 years of Apple. Oh, there's the Macworld iWorld page I planned on showing but didn't. What an arse. This is the fantastic... Oh, I've clicked the wrong sodding thing. I hate that when I do that. The Macworld the Apple homepage even, they've done a little homage and they've done a balloon in black and white that you can see, and then on the original 128 Mac, and then... proper coloured balloons with dithering and all kinds of nice stuff on the big one. What was your first Mac? Let's do that one. Donald starts off. What was your first Mac, mate?
Well, I'm relatively, although it's 9 years now, it's, I suppose it's not a relatively newcomer, but it was the Mac Mini when I got mine. It was when the first Mac Mini came out. It took a couple of months for it to arrive in the UK, but yeah, that was my first exposure to Apple products, basically.
Is that 2005,
I think.
I was going to say three, yeah, but five.
Five, yeah, it was in the January keynote of 2005, and then I think we actually got it around about the March or April time.
Oh, right. So that was the G4 one then. Only one port for audio, yeah, no output. Yeah.
Well, it was just
dual, wasn't it?
It was just a punt in the dark, really, because I'd never really sort of had my finger on the pulse of what Apple was doing, and that came out. And I thought it was a fairly low risk option. You know, it was relatively cheap, cheaper than it is now. And of course, the whole idea was that switchers could use it. So you had your own keyboard and monitor. All you had to buy was the Mac Mini. Give it a try, and away you go. So,
what was your job before you got into doing screencasts?
I used to work in corporate IT, so I was a big Windows and Windows NT, Windows Server, sort of looking after Windows desktops and Windows infrastructure.
All right, so a big leap then for you.
Yeah,
I think you were still doing that when I met you, right?
Yeah.
2004?
Yeah. I didn't go full-time until the year after. Yeah, so that's when I gave it all up.
We talked about it at Podcast Expo, that first Podcast Expo, I think.
That's right, that's right.
Carl, for you?
Same as Don. G4, Mac Mini. And the rest they say is history. And the wallet, and nothing in the bank, no savings, you know. That's pretty much how it is.
Yeah.
It is like that, definitely.
It is like that, yeah. But, you know, it's a good thing, you know. At least our wives know where we're at. We're always at home in front of the computer.
my one justification to myself when I did my law degree was because I had a student ID, it meant I got a reduction in the Apple store. And when the wife said to me, "Why have you bought so much Apple stuff?" I said, "Well, hang on, it was worthwhile doing the student course. Why?" And she said, because I've saved the course fees in the reduction in what I've bought in the Mac store. I saved $3,000 worth of course fees based on my student reduction. So effectively, I got the course free of charge. There we go. She still won't believe me. That's just, it won't wash with her. I've tried.
Can't imagine why.
No. Adam, now you're a lot longer.
Yeah. So is the question the first Apple product or the first Mac?
Let's do Mac. It's Mac Day, isn't it? So International Mac Day. So
I just actually talked about this on. I did a whole member show about my sort of history and life with Mac, where I covered all the Macs that I've actually ever owned. But the first Mac, I realized I've been a Mac user for 28 of the 30 years that it's been around. So I think I showed this last time on the show, right? My original Mac Plus, which is right here.
Wow, still works.
Look at that. Unfortunately, no. It suffered there's an issue, much like the Apple seems to always have an issue with solder on their GPUs. So there's a daughter board in there, from what I understand, and the solder points broke, so the display doesn't work. It boots up, it comes on, but the display doesn't work. So I have to get in there and reflow the solder, and can maybe repair it. I just ordered a. I've never really soldered before. I was watching some YouTube videos because the same thing happened to my probably my favorite Mac ever, which is my white iBook G4. It has the same freaking problem where the solder joint pops on the onboard GPU and the machine boots, but you have no display, video.
Oh, that's
Ah, piece of crap.
You should be able to do that. Yeah, man, your talent, so, mate.
Well, and I'm just hearing, like, my current Mac, which is a 2011 Thunderbolt 15-inch MacBook Pro, I actually bought as a 2010 MacBook Pro, and it morphed into this because, again, the video kept going out, and now I'm reading over the past week or something like that that this 2011, the early and the late 2011 MacBook Pro models, some of them are having video issues again. Like, people are having video, so I don't know why Apple can't get this video thing sorted out. But that seems to be the one thing that plagues all the Macs.
Yeah, no. Well,
just do us all a favor, if you would, Adam. Just whatever computer you get next, let us know the make, the model, the serial number, and everything, so we know which one to avoid.
This last one worked out really well because I got a free upgrade.
That's sweet.
Yeah. I've got Apple just kept. They just replaced it. They just said, "Oh, here, you know, we'll give you a 2011 for your 2010."
I've got a mate in Milton Keynes. He's at PG Koenig, KONIG on Twitter, and he buys broken Macs off eBay and fixes them for fun, and then sells them on. He doesn't make any money out of it. He just does it because he loves it. So, if you need any help, I'm sure he'll be able to give you a couple of pointers. He's brilliant. And I have to say, he fixed my Sunshine Mac here, my Sunflower Mac, when it didn't work. So he's brilliant.
Sunflower, you mean like the flower power iMac?
The iMac, yeah.
Cool.
So, well, you know, the one that's modelled on a Sunflower, the G4 iMac. Is that it? G4? It is G4, yeah.
No? Wait, you mean the Luxo lamp one?
The Sunflower Mac. That's what it's called, because it was designed on a sunflower, wasn't it? That it's on Steve, that I saw in John in Steve's garden.
I do not know of what you speak.
The iMac with the angled poise head.
Yeah, the Luxo one, then. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
That was.
I was called it the Luxo lamp one.
Well, yeah, but it was designed on a sunflower.
I never heard that story.
Yeah, no. Apparently, they were talking about how to make the iMac different. From the G3 to the G4, and they were walking through Steve Jobs' garden, and I've got the inspiration from looking at sunflower.
All right,
doesn't look anything like a sunflower.
Actually, isn't there a promo photo of it with a sunflower on the screen? That seems to ring a bell, but
I think there is. Might be right. Ha! I knew something that Adam didn't.
I know. Where'd you get that? Where's that story from? Did I miss something in the Steve Jobs bio?
Do not underestimate the chance that it could be utter bollocks.
Well, that's what I'm wondering.
Chat room, help me out here. Greeny, what was your first Mac, mate? And I mean, you might be a bit different because you worked at Stockley Park, didn't you?
My first Mac was a Power Mac 9600. That was my very first one. Big old beast.
Good machine. Yeah, that's a great one.
And it had a comment on the size of the monitor, a massive CRT thing with it as well. I chucked it in the tip in the end.
No!
Yeah, I know.
Bet you regret that.
Fed up with it. But I didn't have the studio then, and so the spare room was like the studio. And there's only so many computers you can keep. And I just had enough one day. I thought, right, here we go. And I took it to the tip. And same with the monitor as well.
There's a link in the chat room. I just want to, because I'm not going to be right that often, but there's a link in the chat room that just confirms the story on Wikipedia. That,
yeah, via Wikipedia.
Via Wikipedia, yeah. Which, so it must be right, of that the G4 iMac with the Sunflower iMac is due to inspiration through walking Steve Jobs' garden.
That's rubbish. They don't look anything like a sunflower. It's got a square head. And it's white. I mean, what's he talking about?
Looks more like Pixar.
Old Stevie slipped Johnny a few magic tablets or something. What do you reckon?
Well, they used to stay together in hotels. Maybe he slipped him a bit more.
Yeah. Hey!
Flower power. That's a scurrilous rumour, by the way, Johnny, and don't sue me because I don't think it's true. It was in Steve's
book. I've liked the look of this one, though.
It does look good.
Sunflower one. I've always loved the look of it. I never did get one, but I always wanted to.
I'm going to ask a stupid question. It's probably to do with size, but why don't they do that now? Because that would be, as a reissue Mac, they ought to take some of the classic Macs and just as a limited edition reissue them, but with full upgraded specs so that they're actually functioning.
Well, that was the Mac. That was what the Mac Classic was all about, right?
Hmm.
That was the original Mac sort of re-envisioned.
But they should have. They should do it with all of the classic designs, like the G4 Sunflower Mac. That'd be great.
While we're talking about Macs, cool.
I thought you. Oh, why? I thought you said, why are we talking about Macs? Jesus, greedy. <Well, I should have explained that 4 years ago. Really, shouldn't I? It's my mistake.
I've got an early 2011 MacBook Pro that's always been a complete and utter dog, and it costs a lot of money. Mm. It's rubbish. Terrible. And I've been struggling with it for years with graphics and this, that, and the other, all weird graphics and things going on. And it's a fault with the early 2011 MacBook Pro that they've just admitted to, and it needs a new logic board. And
wait,
they're apparently outside of warranty as well. Mine's just within the 3-year Apple Care. But if you've got an early 2011 MacBook Pro and it's a complete dog, Then take a load along to your Apple Store and put it in the swapping logic ports.
That might be better news than you're suggesting there, Will, because if you can prove that it's a latent defect at the time of sale, which that sounds like it is, then you'll get a full refund if you really want it under British law. You don't.
Now, wasn't that what I was just talking about?
I think so.
Mm. Oh, okay. You're talking about that.
Yeah. You've got a 2011, saying. Yeah. Adam said he had a late 2010, and he's ended up with a late 2011 because they had to replace it because of the graphics fault.
And then I said, and now I just found, and then right after that I said, I just found out the 2011s are also being reported as having an issue. So you're absolutely right, Will. There's some sort of problem.
I know I'm right.
And Apple hasn't officially recognized it, but I fully expect that they're going to do a warranty extension program on them because there's huge threads on Apple's support website and people have posted videos of the graphics fritzing out.
It's got two graphics cards in it, hasn't it? It switches between one and the other or something.
It's the dedicated one. So one of the workarounds, if you get hit by it and you need to keep working, go in and do the thing to turn off the dedicated GPU. Is it the NVIDIA? I can't remember if this one has it.
What's the name of the program? There's a GPU program that you can isolate the GPU, can't you? So you can say which GPU you want to use.
Well, can't you do it in the system preferences?
No, there's
you not do that anymore because they changed it to that auto switching thing.
Yeah, no, there's a program that Dr. Happy Mac told me to download.
Yep.
And it's
something, isn't it? Yeah.
I haven't got it down. It's available in the Mac App Store, I think, or you can download it. And it basically lets you isolate which GPU to use. So you can decide
the AMD processor, the 6490M, the Radeon, I think.
Not content with Wikipedia, the chat room has gone off on one, and Filzy in the chat room has got the exact extract, scanned it from the Steve Jobs biography.
It is from the Jobs book. I missed it. That.
See, there you go. GFX card status. There we go. That's the one. There we go. So no, Greeny, you should be able to get that fixed without worrying anyway, regardless of your Apple Care. So should anyone else who's listening.
It's got pulled it up here. A MacBook Pro, 15-inch, early 2011 graphics, AMD Radeon HD 6750M.
Yeah,
is that the one, Adam?
That's the one.
Yep, that would be the one.
And yeah. Mustang Matt in the chat room has just put a link. GFX.io is for the graphics card status app that we just talked about. There you go. And you can limit which graphics card does all the work.
Wow, I believe you just did like a tip, like an actual help somebody on the show.
I'm determined to have no editing this week. Don't tempt me, Adam.
We might have actually helped some people.
Oh, Jesus Christ, the earth's going to freeze tomorrow. I won't be at Mac World after all. you did say your first Mac. Was that the 9600? Was that in the kind of white goods era?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, sort of an off-cream colour, and it had a green...
Yeah, I always call it the white goods era, because everything looked like a dishwasher.
Yeah. And it had this sort of weird, almost like growth on the side of it as well. It was like it was a nice looking thing, and then they decided to stick this. You know, some of those buildings you see modern designs where they're square, and they decide to stick a bit on the edge of it.
No, it was like classic late 90s desktop PC.
Yeah, it was uglier than that. To be honest, it was ugly bugger.
Yeah. It's all the stuff that evolved out of the Snow White designs from Frog.
Hey,
is it?
Tell us more. Tell us about Frog.
Frog design. Mm. Harmut Esslinger. Actually, there's a really great video that I think I posted to Twitter of him talking about design and sort of working with Apple. And Steve comes in and looks at this design, and he's like, that's pretty small. You know, and something about that. Comments on the smallness of the design, because they were designing, you know, to make cool design stuff. And then it was sort of up to the engineers to figure out how to like fit everything in and make it work. But anyway, Steve hired this company, Frog Design, in San Francisco. And this guy from Germany, he came out and founded this company. And they were responsible for the look of Max, you know, like for forever. And I guess it was pre-Johnny Ive. And they developed this design language called, and it was called Snow White. And it's that, you know, it's the Apple II design with this, you know, sort of slots and lines in the box, and sort of everything evolved from that in terms of Apple's case designs and things like that. That's where, but you know, he was the one that came in and said, we're going to make them white or off white or whatever you want to call it.
Some frog designs are cool, says Bookery, but that's not one of them, clearly. I've just shoved a picture up there on the feed, and it's a disgusting looking piece.
I don't know if that one's I don't know if that one specifically was a frog design one. You'd have to go back and check.
Okay. That's a 9600.
It harkens back to the language of it with, you know, how the sort of straight lines are, the color of the case. That one was one of the first ones to have the kind of door that evolved to the same kind of door that was on the blue and white G3, and then we got the door on the side of the Power Mac, the aluminum cheese grater Power Mac. I don't know if you can see that. It had this little green sort of button, and the whole side panel would pop off, and you could get at all the drives and the card slots and everything like that. I don't remember if that was the first tower.
Steve, that was the problem.
Say again, Greeny.
Well, when you sort of press the button to let the side flop down and try to push it back up again, it kept falling in. Well, maybe that was just my one.
The latch broke.
Probably, yeah. It was a good machine. It was just so massively heavy. They did quite a few of them. I think they did, like, video specials and graphic specials. Mine was just, like, the cheapest one. But I know they did, like, a few special editions of that particular brand, didn't they?
Mm.
And you could run iOS 10 on it, actually, when it first came out with...
Yep.
What's that program called that you can... an early Mac into run OS 10. Can't remember what it's called now. Don't know.
I'm too old. I've been a Mac user for 28 years. Come on.
Yeah.
The memory goes after a while.
Yeah, but if you've got one, if you've got a Mac like that, there's a program, I can't remember what it's called, that officially they were, I think, capped at OS 9, but you can run this program that allows you to get past the firmware or something and put OS 10 on it, which I did,
yeah.
But it ran like an absolute dog, so I wouldn't bother anyway.
Somebody just emailed me about a program that'll let you get Mavericks running on an unsupported machine now.
I feel like it's just me and you, Adam. Are they all buggered off now?
No, we're all listening to your illustrious words.
Intelligence conversation, that's what it is. That's what it's all about.
Chat room is saying their first Macs, so we've got Apple IIe for Bookery. And Mustang Matt says, original Macintosh in 84. He was 12 years old at the time and had rich parents, clearly.
Not to ding Bookery, but technically I don't think an Apple IIe is a Mac. But...
Ooh! Then he owned a PowerBook 100, so we might have to refer to that. Windrider says he's got a Mac Classic, so that's pretty cool. Well done, mate. The other comment is Windrider says that the 9600 looks like a photocopier.
You have an incoming call from Don McAllister.
And Street Machine agrees exactly, unquote. It does look like a
photocopier. I love that it says Power PC on it. Power PC.
Well, no, that was huge deal. At the time. It was huge, yeah.
Yeah, I know, but it just seems funny nowadays, doesn't it? Because with all the Mac versus PC, you know, it just seems funny to me now.
Well, that's that was the name for the Motorola processor.
Yeah, I mean, it's a personal computer is PC, isn't it? The Mac versus PC thing was an adulteration from, what's his face, the advertising bloke.
Yeah. See, now my first Apple was a WAS edition Apple IIgs.
Did you keep it?
It's in my brother, hopefully. About this every. Hopefully, it is in my brother's basement. And maybe about 10 years ago, I did fire it up, and it totally worked, no problem at all.
Because Woz individually himself soldered the board.
Possibly. I think he had gone away by that time. It was very near the end of the Apple II when those came out, but. I loved that machine. My dad wanted to get a Mac, and I talked him out of it. I talked him into getting the Apple IIgs, convinced him it was going to be the same thing, only better, because it was color. And well, and it had a desktop interface. You know, the operating system that ran on that didn't have the old Apple II interface. It actually had a desktop and icons and a GUI, but it was not the same.
The Science Museum here in Birmingham's got an Apple II as an exhibit. So definitely tech nirvana. My first was I had a G4 12-inch laptop PowerBook, and that was I used it for about a year, and then I couldn't get on with it, so I got rid
those
of it.
Those are sought after.
I've got one 12-inch. I have one now. In fact, actually, the 12-inch. If I just turn this screen here, you can just see the corner there. There's a 12-inch that was given to me by Rick McCorriston to replace the one that I didn't keep, and it powers the green screen. You guys are all technically on a 12-inch. There you go. How cool's that? Are they all frozen there?
Rick's the poshest man I've ever met.
Rick McCorrison is the poshest man you've ever met. He's such a lovely bloke. He never says anything. So boo to a goose. And if he swears, it's like no one else has sworn. He could swear in front of an old, in front of your grandma, and he'd get away with it. That's the kind of bloke he is. Definitely.
Lovely.
What's your favourite Mac, though? Now, that's a different question. Now, there's the first Mac, and the first love is all that kind of stuff, I guess. Fair enough. But I got rid of mine because I never got on with it. I couldn't find... I had Panther running out, I think, and I hated it. I never got on with it. McCorrison says, oi, in the chat room. What's your favourite Mac? What's the one... You can say favourite for any reason you like. It could be the most beautiful, even though it was the least functional, or... Anyone got to start us off?
I suppose mine was probably the cheese grater Mac Pro, which was the first like serious Mac, you know, the first powerful Mac that I got, because it would just take anything.
Was that the Power Mac, the G5 version, or did you go for Intel?
Probably the one after that when they moved over to the Intel versions, because I've still got a G5. I've still got the G5 Power Mac. Mac Pro, which is powered off and just sitting down in the corner. Mm-hmm. But no, probably the Intel one, because that was multi-core, you know, multi-threaded, and it was a brilliant machine. Really, really, it's still working now. It's still sitting over in the corner, purring away, heating up the room.
It does. They do heat the room. But yours here really keeps me warm, mate. It's the only room in the house. I don't need the heating on when I'm on my own here.
Well, when I used to have the two of them going together, it used to be, I had to buy an air conditioner for the office, because it used to be terrible. It used to be really, really hot in the summer.
No.
Here's the thing about the Apple virus is that, you know, I mentioned I've been using Macs for 28 years.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Don owns more Macs than I've ever owned.
That's possible.
And he started with the Mac Mini.
Yeah, I was only thinking earlier today when we're looking at Apple's got some great web pages up about, you know, the old Macs and stuff and your first Mac. And I sort of subconsciously thought, good grief, you know, if I was to tally up the amount of expense I've had sort of buying the various Macs that I've had in those short 9 years, yeah, it would be a little bit...
But it's for business. It's for business.
Expense. That's fine.
Yeah. And you gotta say that when Apple found out that Don was one of their customers, they're like, thank God somebody saved us.
Imagine, people are still super impressed that I've not actually bought a Mac Pro yet. Yeah, one of the new ones. People are incredulous that I haven't.
It's in your future.
Wow. When the new displays come out, we'll see.
About four of them is in his future.
Imagine, I saw a great, I posted on Twitter before, the composer Hans Zimmer?
Moretti, yeah, there we go. Let's not do that one. But, that episode cost us, Christ knows how much sponsorship, Greeny, thanks to you.
There's a great video that Apple have posted showing all various Mac people, and one of them is, I think it's Hans Zimmer, who's the composer, and he's got like a Moog in the background and like five monitors around him and a TV up at the top and a keyboard, and it looks fantastic. So I'll have to up my game a bit, I think.
For anyone that's listening that's a recent joiner, Hans Moretti cost us an absolute frigging fortune. We had Walmart, Asda, wanted to sponsor us, and I put together a whole proposal document and sent it off to this guy, and they were very interested in giving us sponsorship and running competitions and launches and stuff like that. And that very week, Will Green mentioned Hans Moretti, and we went on talking about Paul Daniels. And the episode title is Debbie McGee's Five of Spades. And it is quite possibly one of the most inappropriate podcasts we ever published. And this, I got a letter the following week saying no, thank you.
That's saying a lot. Yes.
Thank you, Greenie.
I was looking at your homepage this week and noticing its appropriateness.
Yeah, no, there's a the all right. The title seemed to flow badly last week, so there we go. Moving on. What's your favorite? So Don's got his favorite. It's his Mac Pro. Mine. What's yours then? Oh, this, come on.
I already kind of mentioned it. I see that.
Oh, man.
My white 14-inch iBook, which is dead and I'm super sad about. But I'm going to try and fix it this week.
Good, man.
I ordered a whole soldering kit, like I said, and I'm going to try and see. I found a new... As I was doing prep for my show, I was kind of researching all the different Mac models and noticed that nice hack I got on there.
Mm-hmm.
Rocking the original colors. I found some new tutorials on how to maybe fix the solder joints on those things. So I'm going to give it a go and hopefully it'll come back to life because it's absolutely my favorite Mac that I've ever owned. And I think because not just the design, it's so simple, but you know, it was so portable yet functional. I started the MacCast on this particular machine. And it's great.
Is the colored logo a sticker, says Windrider?
It is not. It's actually a case mod. So. There was a place in Canada, and it's actually a film. And you go in there, and it's pretty easy. You just pour a couple screws, you pop off the top cover, and you lay in. It's like a little light gel, like you would use in theater. It's made from similar material. So when it's lit up, it actually shines through. Colors.ca with the Canadian spelling was the, I don't know if the site still exists, but that was the company that made them. You would order up these little sheets, and they had all different kinds of designs and colors. You could get, you know, I think leopard was out at the time, so you could get a leopard print. But I always have had a original Apple sticker on my car, and actually in the original Apple font, the Apple II font, and so gotta rock the classic colors.
And we may have found the reason why that wasn't repaired under warranty.
No, it was well out of warranty when it died, unfortunately.
Favorite Mac, Carl?
Definitely the one I'm using now, which is the quad-core 2.3 gigahertz Mac Mini. It's definitely my favorite. It's the fastest that I've had.
It's fast.
It's the one Mac that made me think maybe I don't need to get an iMac because they're really, really quick. You know, if you max it out with RAM, which I've done, it's a superb computer. Actually, I've been really impressed with it.
Really fast.
Probably the only Mac that I would love to have but never will be the Mac Pro, the new one. I love how that looks. Super sweet.
Yeah, I'm trying to justify one in my own head.
Yeah, I don't think I can. I think my marriage would be over if I did.
Yeah.
Has anyone here got a look at one?
You
in the flesh? No, not me.
Yeah, I saw one. They're amazing. If you're talking to your wife though, and I realized this again as I was doing the research. So I bought a PowerBook Duo 2300C. For myself,
mm-hmm.
And I had totally forgotten, but I'm doing the research. That machine, I think it was 97, around that time, the base price on that machine was $3,700.
Jesus.
And it didn't have an optical drive. It didn't have an Ethernet port. It didn't have... It was Apple's sub-notebook.
Yeah, no, but the old Macs were huge.
You had to get a dock, you know, where you get all the ports. It just had one big sort of slot. So... I looked at that and I'm like, wow, the Mac Pro's a bargain.
Well, yeah, you say that, but I mean, I've got a prototype SE here. I've got the Azure Blue G3, and I've got the next to it, I've got the G4 Sunflower iMac, and that's probably about $9,000 worth of computers out there, and I got them for under £100.
So. Right? No. I'm saying in today's dollars, but I mean, if you compare, it's amazing to me how technology, you know, gets better and better and actually more and more affordable, because that was $3,700 in 1997 dollars. Could you imagine, you know, the equivalent today?
$10,000.
You'd be, yeah. So.
Or $3,000 if it's UK.
So you can use that argument. Just look, it's a lot cheaper than, what I would have bought 10 years ago.
Don, buy your dollars today, dude. Greeny, what was your favorite?
My favorite is the most recent Mac I bought, which is a Cube. Mac Cube. I, when it came out, I lusted after it. I couldn't afford it. And so now you can pick them up pretty cheaply, and so I love it. As a piece of design, it's absolutely beautiful.
Mm. It is. I've got a, I've actually got a Cube waiting for me in California. And the guy that got it for me, Jeff, is going to give it to me at Macworld.
Wow. Fantastic.
When I said the other week, can I have a, I want a Cube, Jeff wrote in and said, I've got a Mac Cube you can have. So he went and got
Can you take one of those on the aeroplane?
We'll find out.
I would have thought, no, I would have thought you'd have to ship out of here.
No, you can.
Can you?
I won't take it in the, I'll have to put it in the hold. It won't go in the what's it? They may blow up my suitcase as a precautionary measure prior to departure, so. If you find out that Air France 84 is delayed on the 1st of April, you'll know it's me. Yeah, some joker on the 1st of April trying to get a square mag on. So there we go. I'm going to see how much it's going to cost to post it, maybe, I don't know. But it's something like 160 quid to post it over if he does it. So no, leave it there and I'll come and get it at Macworld off you. We'll find a way. There'll be something. There'll be a reason.
See, Bronwyn in the chat says that $3,797 would be $5,256 today.
Is that based on the price of a Snickers bar or something?
I don't know. But could you imagine if Apple put out a MacBook Pro and said it was $5,200?
Batwinch says, am I going to Macworld because she doesn't think I've mentioned it yet?
He's rubbing it in. He's rubbing it in, Batwinch. My most expensive Mac would be a 17-inch MacBook Pro, the 1.5 G4, which, when I'd maxed it out, which is about £3,000, which is about $4,500, I suppose, at that point.
Mm.
Mad, isn't it, really? Still paying
that PowerBook Duo was my most expensive Mac. I had totally blocked that out, that price. That's insane.
Yeah. Matt in the chat room says, take it on his hand luggage. I can just imagine, can you put your laptops in the trays and I just pull out the Cube and stick it on the tray? That's my laptop.
You just need put a tissue in the slot drive on the top and just tell me you have a cold.
Yeah, all right. I can see that.
I
can see that one ending in a cavity search.
Jesus. At least you got the tissues.
Looks like a box of Kleenex.
This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2. We're not doing anything smutty before their advert. Stop it. They're brilliant. They support us. They're absolutely fantastic. They pick up all the bandwidth of the shows. Please, please, please support them. They've got a ton of stuff going off at the moment, and there's offer codes that you can get from us that will get you untold riches from them. Well, 20% off the domains. Nothing. There's loads of things going on. Co-location service, dedicated servers, tons of things going on. And UK2 support the network, and you get big discounts with them. So please, please, please give them a try. Go to our webpage, click on the sponsors link, click on the UK2 logo, and come back and use your offer codes. And you can't go wrong. Thank you very much, UK2. Right. It's time for the cool thing. Donald McAllister, do you have a cool thing for us?
Yes, I do. It's an iPhone app, but of course it'll work on your iPad as well. It's a free app, and it's called History Pin. That's really neat. What it is, it's basically a mashup of a mapping service, but it allows you to add photos to the locations. And I'm quite interested in sort of Liverpool history and stuff. And there's a guy who's been going around taking photos of new Liverpool and old Liverpool and superimposing them, so that you can see the old and the new, and then placing them on History Pin, so you can actually go to the location and see. And it's really neat. It's good. If you look around, you can go to various cities and towns, and people have posted photos, and you can go in and explore your local history and see what was going on in various times. Very good.
Free?
I think it's free. Yeah, it's free, sir. There's a website as well. I think it's free.
Kyle, it's free.
Cool. I'm there.
You can tour the Philippines on your iPhone. Yes.
I've always wanted to go to Liverpool.
It's good.
Why?
You've got spare bed if you're coming over.
No, I'm just saying I've always wanted to go to Liverpool because, unlike you, and I do like the Beatles. So that's why.
What do you mean he doesn't like the Beatles?
I can't stand the Beatles.
Really?
I think they're shit.
Yeah, he hates the Beatles. Yeah.
Well, you learn something every day.
I don't mind the people. I think. Paul McCartney, but John Lennon, fantastically talented, well done, lovely, great. But I think the songs are crap. They're vastly overrated. There we go. I'm going to get death threats now from all the Beatles fans.
Just the Windows phone.
I'm on a tour.
Windows phone hates the Beatles.
I'm on a tour to pissing off the world slowly, aren't I? I'm going to get to the point where I'm going to get death threats from frigging Buddhists. I'm that bad. Blame Ewan. Thank you, Don. Free out. Well done. Nope. Kyle, what have you got, Dan?
Not a free one, actually, believe it or not.
No, really?
Yeah, really. Scanner Pro is my app of choice this week, and it's freaking awesome. I had a scanner clunk out this week. I wish I could take a picture of what I need to scan on my phone. You know, that'd be great. And there's an app for that. It's called Scanner Pro. It's $2.99. I think it's 50% off right now, if I remember correctly. That's why actually I grabbed it. And
Hang on. Before you go any further, there are two pics here on the page that advertise Scanner app, and one is a very badly taken picture of a lotus flowery type thing, and the next picture is absolutely pristine, perfectly done with character recognition on the iPhone. Is it really that good?
It's really that good. What I really love about it, actually, is because I actually had to send a fax with this thing. And you can send a fax. I know. I don't even own a fax.
Where did you send it? 1983?
Huh?
Where did you send it? 1983?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. I had to actually send a fax this week. And I don't have a fax machine. And this app, it's an in-app purchase, mind you. So, you know, if you can avoid it, send it through email. But I had to send a fax. It sent it as a fax. It was freaking brilliant. I really can't say enough about this app. It's definitely worth the $2.99. And then, as much as it saved me this week, it's probably worth the full price. So,
how much can I ask? How much it cost you to buy the fax functionality in app?
It was because I had to reroute it. I think was $2. I think well 99 cents, so $1.89.
I had to go to my local UPS store to send a fax. $3 a page. So there you go.
Man, they saw you coming down the street.
No, that's what they charge. It's ridiculous because no one uses faxes anymore. I mean, it's a supply and demand thing, right?
Well, fax unit pack one is 69p, 99 cents. Fax unit pack five is $2.99 or $4.99, and fax units pack two is $1.49 or $1.99. So there you go.
That's the Readle app, right?
But the thing
Scanner Pro made by Readle.
Readle. Yep. Yeah, that's correct.
The thing that impresses me is it's taken the picture of the lotus and it's done a demorphication on the skew of the angle. This thing's taken, if you're listening on audio, the picture that's taken from the iPhone is not taken square on. It's taken at an angle and it's skewed out of all proportion, but it's straightened it and elongated it correctly on the scanner.
Yep.
And it's really good.
It's really that good. I mean, you just put it over the paper, and then it has this like blue little haze and lines, and it outlines the paper. And then once you can kind of see that, take the picture, automatically crops it and everything. And if you got an iPhone 5 or above, I think it'd be even fine with a 4S. As long as the camera on it's really good, the print it looks like you scanned the thing. It was really unbelievable. I couldn't believe it.
Jesus Christ!
Readle's apps, just FYI, are all really great. I use Documents from them. For managing documents and getting at Dropbox and a bunch of other stuff, and it's a great app. It's like the Finder for your iOS device.
Jesus Christ, Wayne, you just cost me £2.
No, sorry. Yeah. You'll love it though.
I will. Thank you, mate. Adam, what's yours?
All right. So I was thinking about this, and since we're kind of doing the whole nostalgia thing, I had taken this off the iBook, but I don't know if you can see this. There's a company called Radtech, and they make these awesome protective covers. So, you know, I like my Macs to stay nice looking, and I worry about, you know, when you're sliding it in and out of the bag, what have you. And they're called screen savers, or this is the sleeve that goes on the outside. But then they also have a companion one, and it's a nice microfiber cloth, and this one goes over the keyboard to protect the display when you close it down. And I started buying these years ago, and I when I saw them at first, I thought, wow, those things are way overpriced. But since I purchased my first set, I buy them every time I buy a new laptop. I buy a new set for that particular model, and they are just awesome. You can take the microfiber and use it to clean the screen. They're just super handy, and it keeps your Mac, all the surfaces outside and the handrests and things like that, looking brand new. And the quality is just amazing. I mean, they hold up and last for years and years and years. So as long as you have your machine, they're gonna do you good. And just a great product. And it's Radtech. And again, it's Screen Savers with a Z is the little sheet that goes between the keyboard and the display. And the outside ones. Why can't I remember? Sleeves with a Z.
And you can still buy one for your PowerBook G4.
And they come in all kinds of different colors. Yeah. You can get them for PC notebooks, too, if you want. I think they even have them for, like, your iMac, if you want to cover that up. Although, I don't know why. If you're going to do that, I think make sure it's powered down so it doesn't overheat.
Wise words, dude.
Yeah, nah. I have an Apple fireplace. Why the hell not?
I would recommend Radtech only on the basis that when I got my first iPhone, I bought for one of those clear screen cover things that still allowed conductive touch and stuff. And they sent two through. And I was like, yeah, they screwed up in the shipping. I've got two of these. Fantastic. And then I realized that they had the foresight to put two in because they knew I was going to completely screw up the first one. And the first one was like, hey, you bastard! Throw it into the wall. And then I came back to it 2 days later, fitted the second one, no problem. Well done, Radtech. Forethinking firm.
They've been huge supporters of the Macs in the community for years. It's a great company. So
good on you. Greeny, what's your pick, sir?
My one is I do a lot of web design, and sometimes clients or something will send you an image with text on. And so you have to sort of push it through an OCR. Or sometimes you're looking on the web and there's text on a particular a web page that's sort of fixed, they won't let you take it off, for, you know, whether it's an image or for some other cunning reason that they've disabled, you've been able to highlight it. I noticed that if you go to iTunes and you look in apps, you can't pinch the text off it very easily. Well, with this app, you can. It is called PickaText, PicaText, PickaText. And you just click on it, and then you go to your web page or document or whatever it is, and you just draw a square around the area of text you want, and straight away it converts into editable text that you can paste into your what document or whatever it is.
So I'm another £2.49 down.
It's really, and it's the OCR is fantastic. It works really well. But there's lots of ways to do OCR, but this is probably the easiest way I've found it, where you can just, you know, click on it, draw a square around what you want to pinch, and it's done immediately, and then you can just paste it into
that's,
your
that's using the term pinch advisedly. I just want
when, to when I say that, I mean not. Get creative inspiration from other people's
to back up
their work.
Yes, absolutely.
To back up other people's work.
No, just Jesus, Greeny, that's 2 weeks in a row now.
What? Anyway, it's really good.
It is. No, that I've just bought it on the strength of your recommendation, which is probably the wrong thing to do, but...
It is. No, I use it all the time. anyway, it doesn't matter. I was going to have a rant about blooming pages, but I won't. It's a lot of rubbish. And numbers.
I've got to say...
Are you still there, Don?
I certainly am.
I wouldn't bother with it.
It's good.
It is.
Yes.
Love pages and numbers.
Anyway, if you're listening to out there... And you want to... So that was a good pick. A bad pick would be any of the iWork stuff. Maybe with a slight exception
What do you use? Word?
I tend to stick with Microsoft Office Suite, which actually works. It's
good.
Imagine somebody sends you a document with Word. You can open it and everything. It's brilliant. And it looks exactly the same as when they wrote it. It's just this incredible cross-platform.
You need to find new friends if they're sending you Word documents.
Well, you know. Rubbish.
Yeah, I might have a Windows phone, but I ain't going to use Word. Jesus Christ.
Okay, here's the thing. Open up Pages and try and do a mail merge. Good luck with that.
I do that every day.
It's
not the new version, the old version.
Right. How about the new one then, Don? What do you do there?
It doesn't support page. Doesn't support Mail Merge.
No.
Yet.
It's been like over a year. How can you produce a Word processing document without Mail Merge?
No, the 09 does.
Yeah, the new version doesn't, but it's only been out a couple of months.
I think it's a feature that you can't use it for email spamming, right?
Right, I suppose so, yeah. So, like, the six-year-old version supports it, but the brand-new spanking one doesn't.
Doesn't support it yet.
Yet.
No, I've got to say, I'm with Greeny on this one. The lack of functionality in the new iWork stuff is astoundingly bad. I'm glad they haven't cut off the old ones if you have still got them. You don't have to uninstall to reinstall. But and the other thing I want to moan about is Final Cut is becoming an unusable dog of an application.
What?
Why?
It's big and awful. It's slow. It's glitchy. Before, I used to sit down with a piece of music and I used to sit and put beat markers on all the way along so I could dead easy to edit. Now, I can't put more than 20 beat markers on, otherwise I can't do lateral scroll on it. It's just disgraceful, disgusting. It's awful in terms of functionality. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it.
Oh, I'm getting you on. When they did the redesign, I did a thing with a bunch of pro video editors, and they were dogging on it, and one of them has completely turned around and asked if we could do a reprise of the show.
I might
tap you to come in and do that roundtable on Final Cut 10.
I mean,
there's also a great podcast called Final Cut Pro Grill. It's called.
That's the guy.
Oh right, yeah, it's a great podcast. He's bringing all
Chris,
sort of.
Is it Chris? I'm trying to remember. I'm going blank on his name.
Chris Fenwick.
Yes, Chris Fenwick. Yes. Yeah, he's the guy that wants to come back. He was adamant against Final Cut when it originally launched. So he wants to come back and revise his opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good podcast.
I absolutely loathe how unfunctional it is at the moment, I have to say.
You're gonna make the show interesting, Ewan. You're on.
Well, one of the other things that I was annoyed at is I'd got all of my Final Cut projects set up to not copy in media. So I could keep my hard disk space light and have external media as the source for all of the clips that I used. And when I upgraded to the new Final Cut, it automatically switched on copy all files over. So now I've got a hard disk that's absolutely clogged. I've got clients and I'm saying, can I delete your project? And they go, no, we're not ready yet. We haven't had a final review of it. And I can't delete their project off to remove some disk space. And I'm getting down to the stage. I'm down to 60 gig on my hard drive at the moment. And unless one client says, yeah, no worries, you can delete it, I'm not going to do any editing next week. It's that bad because it's frigging awful. And I don't want to sit and have to go through the balls ache of reassociating all of the media with the Final Cut files. What I'm going to do is buy myself a Blackmagic camera at the end of the month, and then I'm going to stick an SSD in, and all the Final Cut files are going to be on that SSD, and it's just going to be factored into the cost of each project. So,
with Final Cut 7, you could just drag the sort of, you know, the scratch disk or the reference files, and just drag them across to, this is within Final Cut, you could just drag them across to your external scratch disk. Can't you do that with 10, then? Doesn't it let you do that?
You've got to find them. That's your problem.
Aren't they all in the project? Because they've changed it, the library system now. They're all in library files now, aren't they?
But the old projects aren't, that they're converted across, and some of the files are still in the old project file. So I've got to the stage now, I've said to them, right, you have to tell me by the end of next week whether all the projects are finished with, because if they're not, I'm not going to be able to re-edit them. I'm just going to wipe them off because I've got 600 gig sat there of bloody useless files, that half of which I don't use. So I'm getting pissed off. I hate Final Cut at the moment. And the beat markers thing, that just drives me mad. And I found that through a forum I went on, and it was like, if you put beat markers in it, the side scroll gets really, really slow. And beat markers never used to be a problem at all before. I could put in an entire track of 4 minutes with beat markers on every beat, and then I'd go back and it would be fine. And
I hear they run perfectly 20. Smooth on a new Mac Pro.
Well, there's my point. I think they've upgraded it for the new Mac Pro. So,
bastard. And they've taken beat markers out of iMovie, so you can't even go across to iMovie.
No, iMovie's... Well, I've still got the old one, though, which is nice.
How long before Ewan goes to Windows 8 desktop?
I've already got it. I've got a Windows 8 machine running down here as well. So, there we go. Michael Thing is, thank you, Andy, Ninja Andy, on Twitter, at NinjaAndy. And he's given me a Pebble watch, and he gave it me. I think it's because it was an unwanted Christmas present. I'm not going to say he's gone out and bought it for me, but he's given me that as a thank you for doing the shows. He said he wasn't going to donate, but he gave me a Pebble watch. So, and I've got to say, I really quite enjoy it. I'm not a watch wearer, so getting used to wearing this is going to be difficult. But it buzzes when your SMSs come in and that kind of stuff. And here's the best thing: if you're not an iOS user, it's not the end of the world, because there's an app that's unsupported by Microsoft, unfortunately, but it's available in the Microsoft App Store that allows you to use your Pebble Watch with your Windows Phone. So there we go.
Did I pick Smartwatch Plus last week?
You did.
So if you're, go back and listen to that. If you have one and you're an iOS user, got to have that app.
Yeah, no, you're going raspberries, but I've picked an iOS-oriented device in the Pebble, you see? See?
Yeah, but out of the box, not that great. So you got to get the
well, no, because but I get the functionality as well off the Windows app. I don't get the weather though, unfortunately. Which is fine. I look out the window instead.
You can get your Bitcoin things with the smart. You know, if you want to track your Bitcoin rates. That I don't have any Bitcoins, but
I wish I had time to mine Smartwatch Plus. where can we get a hold of you?
Close it out,
Donny. Where are you, boy?
I'm over at screencastonline.com, where you can see all my weekly videos, and you can also go across to Twitter and find me as Don McAllister.
Well done, mate. Where are you, Swags? That's not him. That's him. And he's gone. You can get him at Carl Swagger on Twitter if you want to, and he's the voice of the NBA. Absolutely. Adam, where are you, sir?
I'm MattCast.com, MattCast on Twitter. MacCast and Google Plus. Also, the MacCast is the Facebook. I don't know where else. We have communicators with Jeff Gamet and Michael Johnston, where we talk about iOS stuff. If you're interested in that, I think that's pretty much everywhere.
And Greeny, where are you, sir?
BritishMac.com and Twitter, BritishMac. What's that other Don? Is that other thing load of old rubbish? The Twitter ripoff still going ahead?
It's still going. Yeah, still going. Mainly for the developers and people, but no, it's still fairly active. Not as active as it was, but it's still going.
So what? How many people are on there then? About 20, 25?
I don't know.
Is he talking about app.net?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm on there too, but I never go there.
Yeah, same here. And Kyle, where can we get a hold of you, mate?
Oh, finally, I'm back. You know what? Line 5 sucks.
Yeah, it does. Carl's on it every week. That'll teach him for creating a rival podcast. Bastard.
Find me on Twitter at Kyle Swagger. Thanks.
That's all right,
mate. Have a great weekend.
We'll be back. Did I mention I'm going to Macworld? We'll be back again next week with the Mac Show as normal. And big show's tonight at 8 p.m. So if you're in the chat room, come down for the big show later. We have to postpone it 24 hours because I forgot to do the booking and I'm crap. There we go.
Nothing normal about this show.
See you all soon. Take care. Au revoir.
Bye-bye, Windows Phone Man.
You spread that around. There's going to be a T-shirt made for Macworld. I got me a good one. A Windows boy.
Hey, Will.
Yeah.
That pick's brilliant. That pick a text. Very good.
He could have said that on the show.
I was.
He just tried it.
Ewan, put that in.
No, I'm not putting that in. No.
Yeah, excellent.
It's really good.
Make a good outtake.
Oh, shit.